ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant verses 6 to 10. Chapter 15. Nathat bhāsayate suryah, nathat bhāsayate suryah, nasa shampo na pavakah, nasa shampo na pavakah, yadgatvāna nivartante, tadzāma paramam mama, न तद्भासयते सूर्यः न शशाङ्को न पावकः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्दाम परमं मम ममैवांशो जीवलोके ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतस्सनातनः जीवभूतस्सनातनः मनःषष्टानिन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतस्सनातनः मनःषष्टानिन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति शरीरं यदमाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतीश्वरः गृहीद्वैतानि संयाति वायुर्गन्धानि वाशयात् शरीरं यदमाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतीश्वरः गृहीद्वैतानि संयाति वायुर्गन्धानि वाशयात् श्रोत्रं चक्षुस्पर्शनं च रसनं घ्राणमेव च अदिष्टाय मनश्चायं विषयानुपसेवते विषयानुपसेवते उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं वापि भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितं विमूढानानुपश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषः उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं भापि भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितं विमूढानानुपश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषः। After conquering the attachment to the samsaric world through the discriminative thinking, through Viveka, he says you must seek that goal. Once your mind is relatively withdrawn from the world, after understanding the futility of the worldly pursuit, you then direct your energy towards the chosen goal. You must have a complete paradigm shift. And then what the goal is, he explains, he talks about in verse number 5 and 6, he says that Supreme Brahman is beyond the pairs of opposites, it's beyond all desires and delusions, and that is self-illuminating. It is that which illumines the sun, the moon and the fire. All the known sources of light is illumined by the inner self. It is that self which illumines all this. Therefore all these so-called illuminators cannot illuminate. It is beyond all this. This is what he said in verse number 6. That the sun illumines not, nor moon, nor fire. Whither having gone,
they return not.
Once you understand, once you reach the self, you understand that you are not born. When the body is born, you are not born. When the body perishes, you are not perishing. But unfortunately today we are conditioned to believe that when the body is born, I am born. When the body dies, I die. Therefore, to remind you that, they give you name. What? Mukta. You are always mukta. You are always free. But you have now fallen into belief that mukta is this personality. Therefore, what do you have to do? Another name, sadhana. You understand? If you do sadhana, you will remove the ignorance. Then you will understand that you are always a mukta.
Okay.
So, once you understand that, once you reach that state, then you will never fall into this limited conditioned state. That is what he is saying. Whither having gone, they return not, because the vasanas are gone. When the vasanas are gone, there is no more birth or death. And that is my supreme abode. And that is everybody's essential supreme abode. Next, verse number 7. Mamai vamsho jiva loke, mamai vamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, jiva bhuta sanatana, manashashani indriyani, manashashani indriyani, prakritisthani kashati, prakritisthani kashati, mamai vamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, manashashani indriyani, prakritisthani kashati. A portion of my eternal self, having become a being in the living world, abiding in prakriti matter, attract the senses with mind as the sixth. So he is saying, this can be explained with the help of an example. Sun is Brahman. If you compare sun to Brahman, sun is not Brahman, if you compare sun to Brahman, then the sun's rays would be Atma. Right? And when the sun's rays, each and every ray, falling on the reflecting medium, brings about variety of reflected suns. Correct? Sun is one, and the rays of the sun falling on variety of reflecting medium, broken mirrors, becomes individual suns. Like that he says, my amsha, my amsha, my portion, little portion of the Brahman, meaning the Atma, identifying with Prakriti, matter, has become this individual with five senses and the mind.
The sixth means the mind?
Sixth means the mind. Five senses and the mind.
Mind as the sixth, yes.
So that is what he is saying here. The eternal being has now become this individual. Now he is talking about how Brahman has descended itself into this individual self. So the portion of Brahman, the sun's ray in the example, identifies with the mirror, has become the individual sun. So all of us here are what? Reflected consciousness. The pure consciousness reflected through the mind. So this side of the mind is Atma. This side of the mind is Jiva. That's all. So that is what he is saying in this. The five organs of perception, the five organs of action, and the mind, all this is reflecting the consciousness, and you have imagined an individual consciousness. Is there too many suns or there is only one sun? There is only one sun. But the rays falling on reflecting medium has become many suns as it were. So that is what he says. How the one infinite Brahman has come to assume the individuality within bracket, as it wears. Within bracket, individuality, as it wears. So if you see in the book, Swamiji has given this diagram. So it's helpful to understand this food diagram. Self functioning through the body, mind, intellect. And intellect is of two types, gross and subtle. When the discrimination is within the realm of the world, it is gross intellect. When the discrimination is between the world and God, it is subtle. So when Atma functions through the body, which is housed with organs of perception and action, you become perceiver and actor respectively. Then when the Atma functions through the mind, you become the feeler, feeling various emotions. When the Atma functions through the intellect, gross intellect, you become the thinker. Through the subtle intellect, you become the contemplator. Perceiver and actor put together is physical personality. Feeler is the emotional personality. Thinker and contemplator is the intellectual and spiritual personality respectively. All these four personalities put together is individual. So Brahman manifested through matter is the infinite living being. Brahman doesn't possess any senses or mind, but you possess senses and mind. And these senses and mind have conditioned you to understand that you are limited. It is trapped your consciousness as it were. Strictly speaking, consciousness cannot be trapped by the senses, but it appears as if the consciousness is limited. And you are also celebrating the date from which the limitation started, birthday. Believe me. So if you understand Vedanta, on birthday you won't be chanting happy birthday. You can chant happy birthday, nothing wrong. But on the contrary, you will chant Atma Bodha verse 34. Nirguno nishkriyo nityo nirvikalpo niranjana nirvikaro nirakaro nitya muktosmi nirmalah. You are always a mukta. You never fell into the state of limitation. Nitya mukta. Nirguna, you are beyond guna. You are nitya. Then you are nirmala, you are without any dirt, etc., etc. You are constantly telling yourself that you never had a birth. But when the consciousness has identified with material equipment, it has brought about the individual self. Thus, pure consciousness plus the matter has become you, me and all of us. Now by identifying with the pure consciousness, we have to detach ourselves from the matter, then we will cross the matter. That's all we say. So the eternal self, functioning through the organs of perception, expresses as what? Perceiver. Now you are perceiving, hearing, all the time, saying. So you are playing the role of perceiver. What is the role I am playing? Actor. Because I am using the organs of speech. Organs of speech to communicate, to act. Right? So I am playing the role of actor, you are playing the role of perceiver. And later on, you go back to your house, think about it, you are playing the role of the thinker and contemplator. So like this, we are going about playing the roles of perceiver, actor, feeler, thinker, contemplator. But without this knowledge, what is happening is, while we are playing these roles, we are getting lost in the roles. We are not functioning like an actor on the stage. An actor plays various roles, but he never gets lost in the roles. He remains objective. And we have lost the objectivity, we have lost the sakshi bhava. But by understanding this, again we will gain the sakshi bhava. So, with senses attracting, mind as the sixth. So mind and senses, I have already mentioned this before also, the extension of the mind is senses. And the extension, inner extension of the senses is mind. Next verse.
Shariram yada vapnoti, shariram yada vapnoti, yachapyutkramatishwarah, yachapyutkramatishwarah, grihitvaitani sayyati, vayurgandani vashayat, shariram yada vapnoti, yachapyutkramatishwarah, grihitvaitani sayyati, vayurgandani vashayat.
Now, when the Lord acquires a body, and also when he leaves it, he takes these and goes as wind carrying the sense from their seat. Now when the Lord acquires the body means, if you see in the translation also, Swami uses the word, capital letter L, when he uses the word Lord, to mean that self. Self is not acquiring the body. Self manifesting through the body. That's what it means. He says acquiring the body means manifesting through the body. Body means through the body, mind and intellect. And then it leaves the physical body, means what? The manifestation is not there anymore. Why? We discussed the concept of death before in the second chapter itself. What if we define death as in Vedanta? What happens when anybody dies?
Atma.
All of you have to stand up on the bench.
Sorry.
We'll put a heavy bench. Somebody dies, what does Vedanta say?
That the body, the gross body, nothing changes.
Everything else is perishing. What is material is different.
The Atma doesn't move. It's what it is.
We gave the explanation with an example. There are two frames, frame A, frame B. In frame A, there's a mirror fitted. In frame A, there is a mirror fitted. Frame B mein mirror nahi hai. Theek hai? Empty frame B and mirror fitted frame A. In frame A, there is mirror. In frame B, there is no mirror. I can confuse you if I want to talk like this. Sunlight falls on both the frames. In which frame will it reflect?
A mirror.
Yeah. Why? Because there is a
mirror.
Okay. So the sunlight falling on both, but in frame A there is mirror. Therefore it reflects there. Now I remove the mirror from A and fit it in B. Now the sunlight that was getting reflected in frame A has moved to frame B. Okay. So now how do you explain this? If you want to put it in a sentence, you say, what do you say? How do you put it across?
You must have something to reflect.
Reflected sun has moved from frame A to frame B in the medium of sunlight. Hana? Reflected sun has moved from frame A to frame B in the medium of sunlight. Similarly, we have the body and the mind, intellect, atma. Mind and intellect are the subtle body, physical body is the gross body. So when the person dies, you see the gross body. It's there. Correct. Atma is all pervading, pervades everything. Then Atma being all pervading, will it be there in everybody or not?
No.
Yes. But it is not manifesting. Why? Because the mirror, the reflecting medium has been shifted from one body to another.
Like the same frame. So
yeah. So frame is the body.
Hmm.
And reflecting medium is the mirror, is the mind intellect. And sunlight is the, or sun rays is the Atma. Sunlight is Brahman. Okay? In the example, comparing. Sun is Brahman. Sun's rays is Atma. Reflecting medium is mind, or subtle body. And reflected sun is the individual, you and me.
So Guruji,
frame is the body.
So when someone is in coma, where is that person?
The mind is gone into a little unmanifestation. It's not moved away. When the mind moves along with the vasana, it moves along with the vasana. So now how does Vedanta describe transmigration? It says, what is death? Death is nothing but transference of subtle body along with vasanas from one gross body to another in the medium of pure consciousness is death. Transference of subtle body within bracket mind and intellect from one gross body to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness.
No, which is the second gross body?
Second gross body is a new one which you get.
New body, where you want to be born.
Whenever a person dies, then I can born.
Oh, okay, okay.
That is death. What is death?
I'm going to stop
this recording business. Because I think because of recording is none of your concentration.
I hope the people when they come to visit me when I did, they remember that I've just been transferred to another body.
Transference of subtle body mind and intellect along with vasanas from one gross body to another gross body in the medium of your consciousness or Atma or Brahman is
death.
But even the vasanas go?
Yeah, the vasanas go.
Vasanas go. That is what he is saying here. Acquire, the Lord acquires a new body. Also, when he leaves it, he takes these, which what? All the purva sanskaras, mind and intellect, and the vasanas goes as wind carries sins.
So that's how they take karma.
Yeah, your vasanas are gone, right?
Your karma, your desire.
Yeah. So when a person dies, they cremate, and the bones are taken and submerged in the river. So the bones are called as pushpa. The pushpa is still there. The fragrance has gone. So the vasanas and the subtle body has moved. And wherever it is moved, and whichever frame it is fitted, then you will see the Lord who was busy here manifested there. Are you with me? That's all he's saying. Now, certain things that he has not said here, but he has studied in chapter 8 and all, you must remember. Antakaleja mameva smaragmutva kalevaram. So, the last thought that you have when you die, that will determine your next birth. And that last thought cannot be suddenly, you cannot think of Narayana. Last thought will be what? Cumulative of all your thoughts that you live today. Therefore, each and every thought matters. Then that results that accordingly you will get a new body. And that new body is what you ordered. And this body now which you have is also what you ordered. That we already discussed last week. We will discuss that little more when we have the retreat. So you are planning. So what is that? If you come here, you want to tell me secretly. It's a little lovely.
Including vasana. From one gross body to another. But in the
from conscious. With a gross body to another. In the medium of pure consciousness.
The vasana, Guruji, in this context, Vasna means also desire.
Yes.
Unmanifested desire. So, karma and Vasna are what carry on.
Yes.
That's karma. Which you realize later in the next time. So, your karma and your desire, let's say...
Your karma is according to your desire.
Yeah, so we are in our ordinary life, right? Like say, we focus on our karma and desire, that's also a big thing.
That is the main thing, not just the big thing. What is spirituality? Spirituality is removing the desires. God plus desire equals mamta, shweta, sadhana, everybody. When the desires are removed, you become sadhana minus desire is
God.
For that sadhana has to do sadhana. Just the name sadhana, nothing will happen. So sadhana, through sadhana, which is what? 6 years.
Hmm.
What are the 6 years? Did I discuss that thing?
Yeah.
No, we're going backwards. Start from the beginning.
Satsang and samyam, swadharma, sankirtan.
No, seva. Swadharma,
seva.
Sankirtan.
Yeah.
So I repeat, satsang. First is good company, satsang. Right? Because the company which you have today is constantly reminding you, oh, you lost weight, you put on weight, why have to stop coloring your hair? You understand? Constantly reminding that you are the body. So have a satsang which will remind you that you are the Atma. And this is with reference to food, people, books you read, everything. Satsang is the first point. First yes. Second yes is?
Sayam.
Sayam. Samyam. Means what? Discipline. Control of senses, mind. All the disciplines are there. Uske baad, do your swadharma. Don't get into paradharmic activity. Swadharma is to follow your duty, your nature. And do that as a seva. And also do general seva. Right? And then sankirtan, which refers to bhajans and upasana and prayers. To whatever extent you have to do. Bhakti mara. Devotion. Then
swadhyaya.
Swa means one's own self. Adhyaya means study. So it's called self-study. And now when you do self-study, our early morning time is best suited. So, every day study. All this put together is sadhana. When you do that, slowly, slowly, the coloring or the desires reduce and finally completely become zero. When the desires are gone, then you realize that you are Atma. How did I imagine that I am Manta? How did I imagine this? It's a figment of your imagination. What is bringing about this is your mind. There is a beautiful bhajan song in old Hindi movie. I love that song actually. It's by Asha Bhosle. That it says, Tora man darpan kehlaye. Man is the darpan. The mirror is the mind. The moment the mind comes, mamta has come and immediately the world has come. When you have gone to sleep, the mind is not there, mamta is not there, world is not there. The moment mind wakes up, mamta has come, world has come. You and the world always come together. Okay, so he says when the Lord acquires a body and also when he leaves it, he takes these and goes, has wind carries the sense from their seat. And wherever the vasanas have shifted, wherever the mind and intellect has shifted, to whichever frame, and the frame would be ordered by the resultant desire, I told you, the body. And there you will see the Lord manifest. Now, this manifestation doesn't happen immediately. This manifestation doesn't happen at a long time. Vedanta doesn't talk about time there. When will it happen? Immediately or later? reincarnation. It stays here long. The moment conducive atmosphere, conducive womb is found, it vanishes.
Isn't seva and bhakti very similar?
Yeah, but when bhakti expressed through
seva,
physical body is seva.
When it's seva, it is done with a sense of samarpan or devotion. That is
when you're bhakti. Vina bhakti won't be seva.
Yes,
so Vina bhakti will be nakali action. But seva is physically expressed bhakti.
Okay. Okay.
Seva is pretty much physically expressed bhakti.
When you say conducive, so conducive to whatever you want to accept, and that is how you are born in the circumstances.
Yeah. So if you say I am stuck in a particular environment, that is because that is what doctor ordered. Means your own resultant ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change the resultant, that will change. Okay.
Guruji, if you want to say satsang and like you said discipline, duty and all, for a child, how do you explain satsang? You can say pure.
If the child wants to sit and study in the room, and in the room if there is all sorts of distractive things, can the child study? So therefore, you must have, see, if you actually understand this, you have to use the same thing in your worldly life also. Whatever is my goal, whatever is my profession, business, and that is what I have to be sincere to. So therefore I have to plan everything according to that. There is a lecture by Swami, it's called Paradigm Shift. There are two lectures, students who visit the ashram, if any one of you visit the ashram, they show these videos by Swami. One is called Paradigm Shift, other is called Complacency. The paradigm shift is it. This is my goal. Then everything you make it conducive for that. If I decided this is going to be my life, like conducting these classes and doing my sadhana, then accordingly I choose where I live, what kind of room I need for that, what kind of table I need, what kind of stuff I need, pen, notebook, whatever. Everything you plan with reference to that. It's called paradigm shift. So we, in our case, many of us, we have not fixed the goal. That's the problem. Once you fix the goal, then you must have a paradigm shift. Once you have that, your life changes. Otherwise, every wedding you are attending, every party you are going, everything, because the fixed mind is still not can come. You understand? So, conducive to a child, with a sense which will help for the mind to concentrate. So, therefore, the child should understand that, choose the proper words, listen to proper words, other things leave it there, don't identify. And that comes and disturbs you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So that's conducive. Conducive for your goal. This is needed. That's what orthodoxy people they do. They say, we are orthodox. They say, we can't, it's not that you are down. But our goal is different. They won't understand. You can't expect them to understand. Your goal is different. What can you do? We are not saying they are right, wrong, nothing. But my goal is different. A cricketer or a sportsman has to prepare his body accordingly. He needs certain amount of rest. He is representing his state or country. He can't afford to have late nights and miss out all those things, then the bhakti is not there. Then he will not shine. Then he will let the country down. Others may say, why don't you talk about wedding this, that? Well, if I'm free, I'll go. Otherwise, no. I can't. Are you with me? So, conducive. Should be conducive for your goal. The food also. you are going to go to sleep, the room should be conducive to sleep. If it's a room that you have chosen to study, it should be conducive for study. Like that. Next verse. Shrotram chakshusparshanam cha. Shrotram chakshusparshanam cha. Ratanam granam eva cha. Ratanam granam eva cha. Adishtaya manaschayam. Adishtaya manaschayam. Vishayanupatevate. Vishayanupatevate. Shrotram chakshusparshanam cha. Ratanam granam eva cha. Adishtaya manaschayam. Vishayanupatevate. Now this self, Atma, in the acquired body, in the manifested body, presiding over the senses, eyes, ears, skin, tongue, nose, etc., and also the mind, this being, meaning who? Spirit plus matter combination. This combination, Shivani, sits and enjoys the objects of senses. Who is enjoying? Shivani ji? Combination. Combination enjoys. Body per se, no light. Atma per se, no light. When Atma and body comes together, there is light. That is Shivani. That is Shobhana. That Shobha and Shivani is the enjoyer. Enjoying. He is given in the book. The individual arising from the combination of Atma and material equipment experiences the world. So who experiences?
The
combination. What combination? Atma and the body, mind and intellect. That combination enjoys.
Atma.
But that behind the enjoyment, who is making you enjoy that? Atma. If Atma was not reflecting through the body, mind and intellect, you will not be able to experience. But the experiencer is the individual.
Sorry.
Atma
will not enjoy.
But I also said the same thing. I also said combination.
Even in a combination.
Even in a combination. Combination? The reflective consciousness is enjoying all the things. Enjoying is experiencing. Through the eyes, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. All this is for whom? For the combined, which is individual. The verse continues, the thought conveyed in verse 7. Verse 7 stated, Atman functioning through organs of action becomes actor, and through organs of perception perceiver, through mind feeler, through gross and subtle intellect thinker and contemplator respectively. Atma expressing thus through these equipment creates an individual actor, perceiver, feeler, thinker, contemplator. The individual arising from the combination of Atma and material equipment experiences the world. The actor executes action, perceiver perceives sense object, feeler feels emotion, thinker engages in terrestrial thought, contemplator in transcendental thought. Through all these experiences, Atman remains neutral, unaffected. Atma conducts like electricity, which remains unaffected while functions through a variety of electrical gadgets. So, when you go to buy bulb in the shop, you ask for a bulb. When the shopkeeper gives you the bulb, is it going?
No.
Right. The electricity is there in your house. The switch is on, but no bulb connected to the,
solder.
Is there light?
No.
No. Electricity is passing, but there is no bulb, so no light. Only bulb, no light. But you connect the bulb to the
socket.
The holder, like yours. Right. Similarly, all these experiences are experienced by whom? The combination, spirit and matter. And the combination in one form is avantika. Another form is puja. Another form is x, y, z, all of us. Atman is neutral.
Guruji, what's the difference in the thinker and the contemplator?
Thinker is atma expressing through the gross body, which functions within the realm of the world. When you discriminate between within the realm of the world, it is called gross intellect. When the discrimination is between world and God, it is called subtle intellect. So when the atma is expressing through the gross intellect, we call yourself a thinker. And it is expressing through the subtle intellect, we call yourself a contemplator. Now, for example, we are contemplating. But supposing you are sitting and discriminating as to which job I should choose, then you are thinking. Okay? Clear? So what is it?
Got that. The translation of the subtle body, including mind and intellect,
including
Vasana, meaning mind and intellect, including Vasana, from one body to another.
So now, when a person has moved to another body, it is good for that person now because the Vasana leaves that body.
But why does the Vasana also move, Guruji?
It is actually the Vasana that moves, and wherever it is moved, it expresses into subtle body and the gross body.
This is very difficult.
What is difficult?
I mean, Vasana.
To understand this is difficult.
To
achieve what?
Moksha. That stage of non-Vasana.
You don't worry about that. You just follow the sequence, you will get there. It's not difficult. You have to follow the sequence every day. According to your capacity. You will get there. Act, comma, not to achieve. Love, comma, not to be loved. Study, comma, not to learn. Let the goal remain with the goal, you shall get there. I told you, Swami summarized this beautifully in one of the classes. Somehow this quotation of Swamiji is not figured in any of his books. Act, comma, not to achieve. Comma is very important. Don't put act, not comma. There is a problem.
Right.
So that's why again like I think act, comma, not to achieve. Love, comma, not to be loved. Not to be loved means not that you force everybody to hate you. Don't expect love and return. Then study, comma, not to learn, not to put more information into you, but to remove the covering.
Ignorance. Study not to learn.
Not to learn means what? Not with an idea of just gathering information, but to remove the vasanas and bring about transformation. Therefore, not gathering information, but to bring about transformation. Study not to learn. Then let the goal remain with the goal. You should have a goal, but let it be there. Do these things, you shall get there. So the quotation is, act not to achieve.
Love not to be loved.
Love not to be loved.
Study not to learn.
Study not to learn. Let the goal remain with the goal, you shall get there. Simply, daily basis, keep doing what you have to do. And then what? Shut up. He doesn't say that. Right? Just do it. Like Nike says. Just do it. No prefix, no suffix. As we are doing, the mind shifts to the goal, to that extent action becomes impoverished. So achieving the goal gets delayed. Yeah. So why think of the goal while acting? First set the goal. Having set the goal, do it up. So Swami Chinmayanandaji therefore says, set the goal so high that you forget about it. I don't know, one of Mantaji for sure goes there, I know that. No, but others, trekking? You go trekking, no? When you go trekking, let's say you have a peak to get.
Yes.
It may not be the first peak, it may be the fifth, I don't know, whatever it is. You set the goal. You can't see that peak, isn't it? If you have to get to fourth peak from this level where you are, base camp, you can't see that peak. But that's your goal. Pick it up so high that you forget about it. Some given. You understand? You pitch your goal so high, you forget about it and simply plunge. Do what you ought to do. Beautifully Robert Browning says in his poem, Grammarian Skewer, he talks about a grammarian who lived like this. And he passed away. And when he passed away, his disciple wants to bury his body and he is thinking whether he should bury his body in the valley, ground level where ordinary people live, or he should take the body and bury it up the hill. And then he says, that low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. Means low thinking man. He can't think anything high. There are many people like this. They can't, even for example, they can't think big. No, there's one beautiful advertisement that comes, I think Amazon or Flipkart or something like that. It says, Tora Bara Socha. They show that somebody is gifting a mobile phone to the daughter. And the daughter opens up the pack very interestingly. And very small, ordinary, that 1,000 rupee mobile phone comes out of it. And she says, like, yeah. Then they say, Tora Bara Socha. You know? The thinking doesn't go beyond. Even when they talk, they're just for sake, they're conversing for the sake of conversation, and they say, supposing I give you some money, that's what they're trying to say. And that some money, they're quantifying it, it is just supposing, it is not that they're really going to give it. Okay? Just an example. Even then they can't say in billions and trillions, they say, supposing I give you 5 paisa. The thinking is so low. No. So that's what he's saying. That low man seeks little things to do. He can't think anything beyond his body and survival. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man, this high thinking man, with great things to pursue, dies and he knows it. Means what? He is walking towards that goal. And has, in the meantime, has given up his body also, maybe. This high man aims at, with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it, before he knows it. That low man goes on adding 1 to 1, his hundreds soon hit. Meaning what? He's kept on increasing, swelling his accumulation, his acquisition. इधर एक घर खरीदा उधर एक गाड़ी खरीदा एक और घर एक और ये एक और वो यू अंडरस्टैंड इज हंड्रेड सून हिट दैट लो मैन गोज ऑन एडिंग 1 to 1 इज हंड्रेड सून हिट दिस हाई मैन एम्स एट अ मिलियन एंड मिसेस अ यूनिट दे मिस ऑल द small little things in life, sacrifice, just sacrifice all that. Tendulkar, there is a video that Citibank released in 2003. How from childhood days he's come to this level. When he was hardly 10 or 11, he used to sit in the scooter behind his guru, Ashwekar, and then go from one match to another on Sunday. First, they start a match at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, finish, and then the coach is taking him to another match, after another match, 2 or 3 matches every Sunday, while all his other friends were enjoying playing with his friends, eating, watching TV. This high man aims at a million, misses a unit. Like Bhagat Singh, at the age of 22-24, his goal was Indian freedom, and he worked for it, gave up his body. And we are enjoying the freedom and we are not at all grateful to them. If we were grateful, we would have not made this country like this. You understand? And he will certainly pay for it if we don't have gratitude. Let me tell you, Shakespeare says in is that Julius Caesar, Mark Antony's oration, ingratitude, stronger than traitor's arms, it vanquished. Ingratitude. What killed Caesar was ingratitude. Caesar's friend was Brutus. And Antony said, Brutus is an angel, was an angel for Caesar. And when he saw Brutus having a dagger coming to kill him, he says, yet to Bruti, therefore Caesar. Ingratitude. And when we have this ingratitude, we will pay for it, all of us, to whatever extent we have this ingratitude. That is needed. From the time we are born till we die, we are constantly provided. Are you aware? And as a result of that awareness, does the gratitude come? If the gratitude comes, you will be full. You would be out of fullness contributing to the society, not thinking in terms of how I can take from the society. So that low man and this high man, so pitch your goal so high, there is some external that you forget about. And simply be in the struggle, you will get there. And in the sixth chapter we saw, where you lead, you continue there. You understand? Nahi kalyana krit kashyat durgatim sasa gachyati. Verse number 40, chapter 6. He says, kalyana krit. Kalyana means what? Welfare of everybody. When you do such activity, nothing will happen. You will continue from there, you leave. Simply work for a higher goal. Don't be stuck with your body and lead a very, lowly life.
Bhavi, and one from Guruji's. Do you be all, are we available on the 22nd and we can have a retreat on the 22nd only? Do you need to get time on? Yeah, yeah. March.
And your month is only March, right?
Then shall we do it in first week April?
That suits me.
First week.
That suits me. Yes. First week of April. I will attend.
But who has
such a farm for 2 days?
No. It's just a whole day. It can be even year old late. Till 2:30. 11 to 2:30. Yeah. 10 from 10:30 till 2:30.
Yeah. Like just an extended day, you know?
Yeah, that's what Guruji said.
2:30 to 2:30.
Yeah, because we have 2:30 class.
Anywhere.
10:30 to 2:30, first week of April, when is the date in the calendar?
April after the first week.
I'll put it on the WhatsApp.
So, he says, presiding over. Atma is simply presiding over. Functioning through the senses of the mind. Individuality is come, and that individuality is experiencing all these various experiences. Perceiver, actor, feeler, thinker, contemplator. Next verse.
उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं वापि भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितं विमूढानानुपश्यन्ति पश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषः उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं वापि भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितं विमूढानानुपश्यन्ति पश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषः. This being, departing or dwelling or enjoying, united with the guna's qualities, the deluded do not perceive. Those with eye of wisdom see. So in other words, once you have become Shweta, Avantika, right? Now, if you have gone through the class notes and you studied every day and you wrote your summary,
okay, always putting masala. If you have done that work, then you will have idea of wisdom. With that idea of wisdom, you see, what do you see? What do you see?
Clarity.
What do you see?
What is going on in the world?
That is solid illusion. All this.
That you are Atma. And not just Avantika. And as a result, you will see everybody else also as Atma. Mm-hmm. And not X, Y, Z. That's what you see. This being departing or dwelling, and while dwelling, enjoying. In United States, the Buddha's, right? Sattva Rajas Tamas Maitri. The person who is deluded by these Buddha's, he is not understanding that he has seen Atma. He is running after the world. But those with Aya wisdom, those with Aya wisdom is always there. People who have purified themselves, they see. See. Science says there are other planets other than Earth also. But if you wish to see those planets, they give you telescope. Similarly, Vedanta says you are Atma, not Avantika. But if you want to see yourself as Atma, the intellect that you have today, the mind and senses, are incapable of seeing it. Because having lot of vasana, stain. So you got to cleanse the stain. How do you cleanse the stain? 6 years. When you keep on cleansing, when you are completely cleansed, then the Atma reflects. So if you wish to see that, you have to cleanse yourself. So Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not somebody who reads or listens to lecture per se. Having read or listened to lectures, they went and did sadhana meticulously and cleansed themselves. Then they see it. Then you see that you are not limited, you are unlimited consciousness. You cannot be limited by anybody. You grow into that level of awareness. Otherwise, you continue to be limited. Continue to be deluded. And a deluded doesn't perceive this. What? Perceive the Atma within. It is the person with eye of wisdom sees it. Not everybody sees this. Though everybody is Atma, not everybody sees them as themselves. But a person who has gone through this, he says. That's why we say, we have to bring about the purification. And then slowly you begin to see. Till then you don't. So Aya wisdom means what? How do you convert knowledge into wisdom? Like the process of making the heat. Milk should be lukewarm, not hot, not cold. Similarly, not too much of parties. And zero experience also not good. Just little bit experience. And every day morning add little jamu of study. And leave it the whole day doing karma yoga, bhakti yoga. Then slowly the curd sets. Means what? The knowledge sets. Then through meditation you churn. I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intellect, I am Atma. I am not this body, my intellect, I am Atma. Not the body, my intellect, I am Atma. You keep on churning, what happens? The butter of wisdom separates from the curd. Then that butter you preserve in water of tradition. Daily practice. Then it stays with you, preserved. Wisdom is preserved. So how have these great masters envisioned to preserve this wisdom? Through the tradition. Swami Chinnananda started this tradition of Bhagavad Gita. lectures in every city, every village. You understand? And this havan is going on since he started. Gita Jnana Yajna. In havan everybody puts the ahuti. Are you seeing? So when there is yajna going on, you have to put your ahuti. To keep the tradition alive. Because if you break the tradition, the passing of wisdom from one generation to another will be gone. Are you with me? And therefore, you must preserve tradition. Yes, to preserve tradition, you have to understand and pass it on to the next generation. And understand and follow and pass it on. Then slowly the wisdom will continue to populate down to generations. That's why we have institutes like ours which struggles and somehow maintains all this tradition. There are other traditions also. We are committed to follow this passing on of knowledge tradition. So once a year, Swamiji comes and conducts lectures, and then throughout the year, we have weekly classes. So we make sure that the light is constantly burning. We're pouring oil and keeping it alive. It's a beautiful thing. So like that, eye of wisdom. They who have eye of wisdom, they see it. Others don't see it. Like those who are wearing the 3D glass, they are watching the movie in 3 dimensions. Those who are not,
watching a blurred image.
So we are having a blurred image today in the world because why? We are not following 6 years. If you follow that, then slowly, and interestingly, even little bit of understanding gives you a totally different perspective to your life. Like the sun has not fully risen in the morning. But even at dawn, when the sun is fully not risen, you can switch off your light, street light, and you can walk around without an issue. Even that little bit of sun rising is enough. So even if you have not reached to the level of self-realization and all that, even little understanding of this knowledge settles all your issues. Without this knowledge, you say, what? What? With this knowledge, after some time, it will be followed by, so what? And when this knowledge goes on establishing, the gap between what and so what will be reducing. Then when you establish this knowledge fully, the what will get lost in so what. Satakin. Then the setup will not upset you. On the contrary, you start influencing the setup. Wherever you go, they get energized. They get influenced by your cheer. You know, with this great master, that's what happens. With them, you also become energized. Because they are beyond giving influence. So this being, departing or dwelling or enjoying, united with guna's quality, deluded by what? Deluded by your body, mind, intellect, desires. They do not perceive. If you want to perceive, you have to follow the karma bhakti jnana. So people of the world being totally deluded, lost in the maze of perception, emotion and thought, unaware of the presence of Atma, ignorant of Atman's role in birth and death, in existence of beings, in physical, emotional and intellectual experiences, they do not see Atman distinct and separate from its multifarious expression. The word refers to them as Vimuda. Muda means full. Vimuda means PhD. PhD in idiot. Right? We proficient Buddha makes that delusion complete. Total. A businessman being immersed in the world of business. So does a professional in his profession, a sportsman in sport, musician, music, each loses himself, his own nature, tendency, vasana. Rarely indeed does one see through one's little world and recognize the underlying reality. Atman, the word describes such a rare one as being endowed with jnana chakshu, eye of wisdom, a poetic expression of an enlightened person who perceives the supreme reality in and through the pluralistic phenomenon. Sri Gurukula puppetry and the puppets are being manipulated by
puppeteer.
Fingers of the puppeteer, and there is a thread connecting the puppeteer and the puppets. But puppets are, while they are talking and moving, they are talking about certain stories. It may be tragedy, comedy, action, thriller, whatever it is. And when the puppet show is going on, what is happening to us? We are getting lost in the story. Who is going to get married to that girl? You are getting lost in the story. But there are very few people who are not lost to the story. They see the thread. But they also don't see the fingers. But there are very few, or one fellow may be rare, that person is seeing the fingers. He or she is seeing the fingers manipulating the whole thing. There is a divinity that shapes our end, the substratum, the Atma, the Brahman. That very rare person sees it. That's what he says. With eye of wisdom, they see. Those who are purified, they see. Those who are not purified, they don't see. So now next verse.
Yasanto yoginaschainam, yasanto yoginaschainam, pashyantyatmanyavastitam, pashyantyatmanyavastitam, yasanto vyakritatmanah, yasanto vyakritatmanah, nainam pashyantyachetasah, nainam pashyantyachetasah, yasanto yoginaschainam, pashyantyatmanyavastitam, yasanto vyakritatmanah, nainam pashyantya chetasah.
Yasanta means one who strives. So the yogis who strive perceive this dwelling in the self. Dwelling within. Self means within. The unrefined and unintelligent, those are the people who have not strived, who doesn't strive, who choose the path of mind's likes and dislikes. They don't control their mind's likes and dislikes, they go by the whims and fancies of the mind. So the unrefined, the unintelligent, even though striving, striving means they are striving in the world. They are not striving in the right direction. They are striving in the world. They do not perceive this Atma.
So dusra jo dabba hai, wo aap operate ke saath rakh
lijiye.
So the yogis who strive perceive this dwelling within. Yogi means what? One who is united to the pursuit of the self. One who is united in the pursuit of the higher self. One who is trying to unite himself with the self. So that person, yogi, is a committed individual. This path, when you say, I am going to start studying, it's a commitment. Once a week, once a day. And throughout the day, karma and bhakti. If this commitment we can't make, what we can achieve in life? So he says, the yogis who strive perceive this dwelling within their self. They see it within, by refining themselves through the karma bhakti jnana. The other fellows who don't have this goal, they are also striving, but where are they striving? They are striving in the outside world. And some people may strive in the spiritual world also, but they are striving in the spiritual world for what? Material benefits, worldly benefits. Bhagavad Gita for success. I will enroll myself. Because if I study Bhagavad Gita, I can become successful here. Bhagavad Gita for peace in this world. I study Bhagavad Gita.
then also you are not a yogi. You are not interested in uniting with the self. Are you with me? So such people are also striving. They are also attending classes, they are also taking notes, they are also doing. But for what? So that they can become more healthy. So that they can become more peaceful. Their focus is worldly. Their focus is not Atma. Such kind of striving, we also don't see. When you do yajna, that the Vedas prescribe, right, karma kanda, in the karma kanda of Vedas, yajnas are prescribed, Agni Hotra, etc. And there are people who do these yajnas meticulously, but they are not interested in centralization. They are involved in yajna, if I do this yajna, I'll get well, if I do this, I'll get putra, if I do this, I'll get this, you know, like that. That's why they are doing. Such people who are doing this kind of karma, they will go to the loka, it's called Indra Loka, Swarga Loka, they go there after that and they enjoy and then they send back. There are other set of people, they do upasana, right? With a form they do lot of worship, but that is also for material benefit. They go up to Brahma Loka, little more enjoyment there and they are also sent back. But along with this, if you did jnana, with awareness, if you did this, converted the actions into karma yoga, upasana into upasana yoga, bhakti yoga, along with jnana you do, you don't go through any of these paths, you go directly to liberation, this is the Upanishad. What we need to understand is, you have to strive and strive with the higher direction, then you will it. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.